You know the old saying, one step back, two steps forward. The path to success is a winding one, but for athletes at this elite level, the knock in confidence of their ability not matching up with their results can be particularly hard to reckon with.
But since she came to the Olympics refreshed, feeling happy, did not translate to her tennis struggles continuing.
Unless you're some kind of precocious phenom, the sting of missed opportunity at the Olympics, an event that only rolls around a couple times in a career, is a pain that can be transformed into fuel. For those who see the long game and choose the former, that delayed gratification can be even sweeter than the original.
Tonight, Tambiri was writing his redemption story, coming all the way back from devastation in 2016.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like when you train so hard for a moment and it doesn't happen the way that you think it should, it's not a good feeling. But, you know, that feeling is what drove me to continue to go after what I want and to continue to work hard to go after the next team.
From NBC Sports, this is The Podium, a podcast about the Tokyo Olympic Games. Coming to you daily during the Games, we'll bring you the stories shaping the greatest athletic competition in all the world, held in extraordinary times.
This podcast is presented by NordicTrack from iFit.
Tamara Mensah Stock strode confidently into our hearts this week after winning gold in women's freestyle wrestling. She was visibly overwhelmed by the moment, a moment that had eluded her previously.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling very happy, and I keep trying not to cry, but it keeps happening. And I just want to go into a dark room and just cry. But cry from joy.
Tamara, we can't stop watching your winning mixed zone reaction. There is so much raw joy there. But I'd like to go back to a very different time. I want to know about 2016.
Yeah. So I won Olympic trials in 2016, and I thought that was the most phenomenal thing because I had lost to some people years before, and the fact that I got to beat them, it was great. And then I had to get to work, which was qualifying the weight class, and I didn't really understand the process at all. And it was kind of upsetting because I knew physically that I could do what needed to be done, but mentally I didn't work on it and I wasn't prepared. And I remember being on the mat for every single match that I had lost, where I was just one match away from being qualified. I remember like the thought process, like, what is happening right now? Should I shoot? Dang, I don't want to be here. This is hard. Just weird thoughts like that. But I have regret because of it. And that's okay, because I don't like living in the past. The past is the past. Put the past behind you. That's what Timon says. Or you got to put the behind in your past. Whatever he says. But it's a little frustrating, but it's okay because I bottled it up, utilized it like my coach had told me to do. And oh man, I put a fire in my belly, and it's like a champagne bottle. just open it and explode. That's pretty much what I did.
That pop is what we saw earlier then. That bottle clearly being shaken for 5 years, right? Is patience a part of your wrestling style, would you say?
So take, for instance, my first match compared to my last match. In my first match, I rushed it and it was 10-0. Like, gone. Match was done and over with. And I could feel that, like, I could, like, take advantage of that situation. My last match, it was a lot more aggressive, and she was hands-on, like, slapping me, like, dang near, like, bullying me, and I had to be patient and wait for those moments. So I'm a very patient person. I like to say that I like to plant the seed. That's how I got my husband. I planted the seed in high school, got him junior year in college. worked. I'm a very patient person. So I definitely, wrestling is a patient thing. But if you're too patient, then you don't seize the moment. So like there's like a fine line between it. Like you have to know how to pull the trigger. And I definitely feel like I've, you know, figured that out. I was patient in the match in the finals, and I pulled the trigger when it needed to be done. So it's a very vital part of the sport, in my opinion.
What about in life, off the mat? Are you a person who's able to delay gratification?
Oh, I definitely don't like putting things off. Like, if it needs to be done, I would like to do it. Is that a weird thing? That's not weird, right?
No.
I'm like, I could put it off, but it'll be in my mind, and I like to finish my tasks. That way I can sit and play my video games, have fun, like, and not have to worry. Oh, the dishes. Oh, the dogs don't have food today. Did I pay the bill? Did I cook dinner? Nah, just take care of it.
Right away, right? What about the COVID year? I mean, lots of opportunity to play video games and do dishes. Was that a test of your patience at all?
I honestly don't think so. I feel like it was not a test of my patience. It was more like, you need to take the time and basically be with your family. Like I felt like it was like, hey, I feel like you need a break. So break happened. I was able to see my family 5 times that year. And usually I just see him once a year. And I was able to be with my husband the entire time. Like it was phenomenal. It wasn't a test of patience. Well, I mean, you know, like being with your spouse like all dang day. I guess that was a test of patience. But it only made us stronger, but I feel like it was just helping me get to like see my value like in my family and like just love on them more and be around them more and just enjoy life and know, hey, guess what? You're not just a wrestler. You are a wife. You are a Christian. You are a daughter. And why don't you learn some piano and learn some Spanish? Like it was, oh man, it was just like rediscovering me. It was fantastic. Loved it.
Always looking at the positives, right? I mean, you work for 5 years to get to the final match, the moment you've dreamt and worked towards with such resolve. And that was the final test, I guess. What do you want people to think about your journey and its golden chapter today?
I want them to be thinking, now that is somebody that I want my kids looking up to because she is a light in this world and we don't have a lot of that.
Tamara Mensah Stock has plenty left, and the American with that dream of finally standing atop the podium at the Olympics, it is here. Tamara Mensah Stock of the United States has won an Olympic gold medal.
Our next voice spent 2016 breaking U.S. track records, posting some of the fastest 100-meter hurdles times ever recorded, and even broke a world record, all while watching the Olympics from home.
She was training hard to make her Olympic debut, finally. 5 years ago, Kenny walked into the Olympic trials, the hands-down favorite, but then came the starting gun.
Rollins has the lead. Harrison is second.
Kenny finished sixth. In just 12.62 seconds, her Rio Olympic dreams were suddenly gone.
I was kind of like shocked and kind of numb that I didn't make it.
But it was even more baffling when just 2 weeks later, Kenny did this.
She's broken the world record. Kenny Harrison.
2016 trials, you know, I was coming in the favorite. I broke the American record a couple weeks before that meet. Kind of choked. I felt like I wasn't prepared mentally for the pressure that was about to happen and didn't perform well, didn't make the team. And then 2 weeks later, broke the world record.
Oh, wow, what a range of emotions, right? I mean, clearly you had the level to be making your Olympic mark and you knew you'd have to wait 4 years. That became 5. Was that disappointment almost fuel for Tokyo?
Oh yeah, of course. I feel like that disappointment kind of, like me and my coach were like, the only thing that's going to make you feel better is to go after that world record. So that was the goal. And I was able to do it.
It all worked out in the end, thankfully. But physically at the time, not being in Rio, what was that like?
I mean, it's a sucky feeling. I don't know. I mean, I feel like when you train so hard for a moment and it doesn't happen the way that you think it should, it's not a good feeling. But, you know, that feeling is what drove me to continue to go after what I won and to continue to work hard to go after the next team.
which you made, clearly. You're sitting here with a silver medal for the women's 100-meter hurdles. So is patience a necessity for hurdling?
Yeah, for the hurdles, it's like you got to have rhythm, technique, and speed. And you have to be able to do all those three things all at once. And it's such an exciting event because, you know, you're racing against the best in the world. And so you just want to make sure that your technique is where it needs to be so that you're able to stay with your competition. It's just a rhythm race. And whoever has the best rhythm and technique wins.
I'm listening to you, but I've never run hurdles. Why is rhythm so important?
It's like, you can't open your lead leg too soon before you go over the hurdle. You know, you have to time it just right. You have to be able to run off the hurdle at a certain time with your trail leg, but it can't be too early, but it can't be too late. So it's just having that perfect rhythm through like the 10 hurdles.
What about counting steps? I keep on hearing about the number of paces between hurdles, but that was in the 400 meter.
Yeah, I think for the 400 hurdles, people like to count their steps or have a certain stride pattern. I used to do the 400 hurdles, and I'm on the shorter side, so I know I would take more steps versus somebody who's taller than me. It just depends on the athlete.
Different for every person, I guess. Is there a parallel between keeping your rhythm in the hurdles, counting steps, and timing your performances for every Olympics?
Kind of, sort of. I had world championships in between the Olympics. So that kind of helped make the time go faster, just preparing for another championship. But I feel like the Olympics came around so quick, even with COVID happening, to say that we're here and the Olympics are happening, you know, it happens just like, for me, it just happens so quick. And I know in 3 years, the Olympics are going to come back up again in Paris, and that's going to be quick too. So, I just think every athlete is just excited for the Olympics.
Well, they've had to wait for quite some time. Does having to wait and longing for it make the success a bit sweeter?
Yeah. You know, I felt like I was prepared last year before COVID hit. And I feel like I was even more prepared this year. So, I mean, I feel like my coach and I did a great job just preparing myself for that moment, whether it was going to be last year or this year. You know, I've been training so hard, and everything's just been kind of getting me geared up for the Olympics. Just because something didn't happen the way that you want doesn't mean it's not going to happen. You got to continue to work hard and have that faith and believe that, you know, this is something that you really want to do and you can accomplish it.
And you did. When people watch the 12 seconds or so that earned this silver medal for you, what do you want them to think of?
I would want them to think this moment didn't happen overnight. You know, it's something that I trained hard for, but also fell short 4 years or 5 years before this. So just know that I'm a fighter, and that moment was really special to me.
Waiting, possibly the most painful word for an athlete capable of Olympic success. But just like fine wine, a victory can be even sweeter with a little bit of age. Follow The Podium now on Apple Podcasts and wherever you're listening to get automatic downloads. And tune into the networks of NBC to watch it all unfold.
This podcast is presented by NordicTrack from iFit.